Blog Talk Radio.
Appreciate the film even that much more.
So that's the thing about soundtracks. They tend to, if it's a good soundtrack, the movie, whether the movie is stellar movie or just a mediocre movie, somehow music sometimes helps it become at least that much better than it was on its own recognizance or on its own accord. How do you guys feel about that when it comes to movies? Do you think that these soundtracks play a really, really important part, or really a real important role, like it's another actor in the film?
I agree. You know, Greg, soundtracks, the accompanying music in movies have been an integral part to the stories in the movies for since nearly the beginning. You know, ever since you know, in the old movie houses, the black and white film, you know, had a guy playing the piano with either sheet music that was sent along with can, or playing his own, you know, music to the film, to the silent film. It was a definite part. I mean, when you look at the old silent films, and you look at like Keystone Cops, and try to, I mean, you can easily watch the Keystone Cops without any soundtrack, but you put that tinny piano in the background, you know, that type of music, and suddenly, not am I just looking at it, but now I'm leaning forward, and I'm starting to laugh a little bit more, and I engage more. It allows me to engage more into the action on the screen. And I think that's what a good soundtrack does. It engages us, and it allows us to open ourselves up more to what's happening in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I would agree.
Oh, go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry, I didn't
mean that. I would agree. To me, sometimes the soundtrack can even enhance the movie, enhance what the director's trying to do. So it's not just another character. It's the character that brings everything together, that sort of creates the emotional sort of pathway so that it can help you understand on a really visceral level what the dialogue's trying to say, or what the scenic, you know, situation is trying to convey, or other things that the director says, that can get to you on an intuitive level in a way that words can't always. So yeah, I mean, it's crucial.
Yeah,
I think
I'm an advocate for music anyway. I mean, I love movies, but I also love music, not almost equally. And a really good musical score or a really good musical background through the course of the film always adds a little bit of, in some cases, drama. Like you alluded to, Larry, a little whimsy. And in some cases, subtle or romantic moods in film.
You know, again, you know, you're making a great point. For instance, I go back to a movie that came out in the early 60s, I believe, or no, late 60s. No, I think it's early 60s. A lot of the movies in that, soundtracks seem to grow up after World War II, not grow up, but become more contemporary. Prior to World War II, most of the songs were more, you know, concert in general or Broadway in general. And then suddenly, the late 50s came along, early 60s, and we start seeing this change of something far more contemporary, far more in your face, and taking it right out of pop radio, right out of rock and roll, and it totally changed how we listen to movies as well. Movies weren't necessarily trying to, do the big orchestra thing anymore, even though they did, but that's not what they were doing. And it's a huge change from the big orchestral scores that happened in Errol Flynn movies and Korngold, you know, to Henry Mancini, who kicks in the 50s and 60s and just totally changes how we listen to movies. And then suddenly now you've got in the late 50s and early 60s, and now you've got, the Beatles and Help, and that just knocks down all the doors, and suddenly we're in a brand new world of movie soundtracks.
Mm-hmm. You know, I liken it too. I remember a lot of the films that I'd seen in the past where the late 50s, a lot of the movies that were out there were movies that were almost like promotional movies for different bands and different groups of the time. And it's one way to be able to, across the country, see all these different groups without necessarily having to go to a concert. So you're seeing like Bill Haley and the Comets. You're seeing groups like the Herman's Hermits, or, similar groups of that early, late 50s, early 60s. And then, of course, those Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello movies, where now you're seeing a lot of the 60s groups introduced at, like, say, quote-unquote beach parties. And this is the group that's playing at the beach party, where we know that this is a recording artist of the time who's relatively popular. We see, Fabian in some of these films, Elvis Presley. So you're seeing that changeover from just the, like as you alluded to, Larry, the orchestral type movies, orchestral type music in the films. Now a little bit more modern music of the time is being played. And then going into the soundtrack, not necessarily being so blatant in our face, but now presenting the different moods, i.e., like you said, Henry Mancini, very mood music, very wonderful mood music being introduced. And now the soundtracks are getting to be, as you said, growing up, getting more mature, a little bit more inviting to a more mature and more adult audience.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. There's some other things that are going on too. For instance, Summer of 42, where if we go back a little bit, where you have this haunting piano and cello piece, and it's all about loneliness and angst and not just growing up, but going on when the last thing you want to do is to go on. The music captured so well the message of the film that years later, all people have to do is hear that main theme and they go right back to Summer 42. I mean, think about it. The moment we hear the Star Wars theme, bang, what do? We start thinking about Star Wars. The moment we start, the moment we hear, something from, and you name the song, like all the James Bond films, you hear one of those songs and bang. It's not just we're listening to that song, but remembering that film. These movies, these songs have a huge impact on us. The film that I center my prep on is The Graduate, and the soundtrack by Simon and Garfunkel mostly. It's such an incredible soundtrack that it really gives us not only a slice of the culture at the surface, but the music gets into the deep and dark journey that Benjamin is going on, as he's trying to figure out what he's going to do with the rest of his life, not wanting to live the lie that his parents and his parents' friends do, and at the same time being raised in that lie and not knowing anything else. The music really brings into the heart of this, and so it's so you know, you have the sounds of silence and Scarborough Fair, and then of course the incredible Mrs. Robinson. You know, we listen to these songs, and immediately we go back to that film. Those of us who have seen it, so this is a great film. It's a dark comedy by any standard. The music relates that to us. So this is one of those things that we can just, if the film is so good visually, we can turn off the sound and know what's going on. And at the same time, we can just listen to the soundtrack and know what's going on. The music is put together well. It matches well the music of the film to the picture itself. There's one other one I wanted to mention that's very much like that, and that's a movie that about 20 years back, and it's called Run, Lola, Run, the German film. The soundtrack is not extraordinary, but it fits that film so perfectly that you're almost wanting to get up and run right along with Lola as she is trying to save the day. And I don't know if either of you have seen that film. It's a marvelous film to watch. It's got a great surprise at the end. And it's one of those movies that, even though it comes out of Germany, it's still a feel-good film. You really want to applaud the filmmakers for that one. The soundtrack, again, it works every step of the way.
Well, there's to me, this is like one of those assignments that you love to do as a movie critic, but it's kind of a blessing and a curse, because to me there's so many movies with great soundtracks, and there's so many movies where the soundtrack actually eclipses the movie, and it's really hard to sort of narrow down what a particular favorite is, because at any point in time or depending on what's going on, any number of movie soundtracks could be the favorites, like the soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz. I love that soundtrack, but that's my favorite movie of all time. And I love Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I love the song that precedes the Wicked Witch whenever she appears, that orchestral sort of flourish. The songs when they were in the Emerald City, I mean, all of that stuff. I just adore that. I love the soundtrack to The Sting. I mean, to me, that's one of the greatest soundtracks ever in movies, and that was one that I was going to talk about, but anybody can talk about The Sting. I mean, if you talk about soundtracks, I mean, it's almost a cliche to bring up The Sting. So what I want to mention is the soundtrack to The Talented Mr. Ripley. This is a film that I think, generally speaking, the film was underrated. It's a film that really gets under your skin, or really got under my skin. And, you know, it's a murder mystery, it's a psychological drama, a thriller, and it has this, to me, this just incredible soundtrack, this sort of haunting soundtrack, and kind of a mix of some interesting jazzy vocals and some sort of choral stuff, and just beautifully done music. And I guess this film has been on my mind lately because I was fortunate enough to visit Italy not too long ago, and to see some of these places, it just brings some of those songs back. And some of this movie was done not where I was in Florence, but in Rome and in Venice. And the music just seems to go so well with what you think of as Italy, romantic yet kind of sad and haunting, you know, very engaging, poetic. That's what the music was a lot in this movie soundtrack. So they really, I mean, there were a number of artists. Matt Damon actually sang a version of My Funny Valentine. He didn't, in my opinion, didn't sing it very well technically, but he sang it very well for the purpose of the movie. The way he fit in perfectly with what he needed to do in the movie, what his character would have done in that movie. Yeah. So it worked perfectly.
Of course, because the first thing he's doing, he's playing that character. And I think you're right. I think this is a good call, Karen. I think The Talented Mr. Ripley is exactly what we're talking about here. Great, great choice.
Another film that we could
easily talk about film soundtracks for weeks on end. There's a lot of movies and a lot of great soundtracks. But a few honorable mentions I have. One is Lawrence of Arabia, and that wonderful soundtrack that captures the desert. It captures the loneliness of the desert. It also captures the excitement of what Lawrence is going through, and it introduces us to this world that most of us had never seen and never will see. The music does a great job doing that. Other films too, you bring music roles into this. You know, Karen with Wizard of Oz. Well, you know, I have to look at Bernstein's great music to West Side Story. It's just, I don't even know if I could call it a soundtrack. I mean, the whole thing is built around this beautifully orchestrated piece that he and Sondheim did together. I shiver when I listen to that music by itself. But musicals are a little bit different. So I kind of wanted to stay away from musicals for this. Because in musicals, the music is the key. It is what we're watching the film for. But when we're watching like Captain Blood, and we have this exciting film music in the background that helps tell the story, that's something else. People like Goldblum there, or Elmer Bernstein with his great music for The Magnificent Seven. Some of these songs, even though they're in film, they're so much part of our culture now. I could go into a crowded place anywhere in the city of Chicago and start humming the tune for Magnificent Seven, and sure enough, other people will start humming it. I'll plant that earworm in them, and they'll go off hating me for the rest of the day. And music can do that. And like you said earlier, it brings us closer to the story. It brings us closer to the film. And we get to leave with something that is more than just the memory of the film. We get to leave with a song in our ear.
Now, I'd like to mention something. Sometimes it's the whole soundtrack that's wonderful. Sometimes it's only parts of the soundtrack that catch you. But I wanted to remember. I remember something from my youth, a movie that I thought was a decent movie, but the music really helped the situation. And I like this particular song, for example, from this movie. And I've heard it from the musical score, and I've also heard it from independent artists who have redone this for their albums, CDs. And that movie is Romeo and Juliet. I fell in love with as a child. My sister played the piano a lot, and this is one of the songs that she played that I remember, and it's called A Time for Us.
Oh, and, my goodness. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a wonderful song, and it's always stayed with me. And then the next time I heard it later on in my young adulthood was by Johnny Mathis. Did a version of it, and that made me fall in love with the song that much more. But it also made me go back and look at the movie again. Like you said, sometimes when you're putting that tune in somebody's head, it makes them investigate, especially if they've seen the movies before, to go back and revisit some of these films. And A Time for Us does that for me for Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, that's an excellent movie to bring up. There's another movie that I always think of. To me, it was the soundtrack that got me, even though I was captured by the movie itself. And I actually, I'm sort of proud of myself as a movie maven for predicting that this movie was going to win the Academy Award when it came out. And it was a total sleeper film, and no one was predicting it would win except me, and I was right. And this film was Rocky. So the soundtrack to Rocky, I don't know what it is. It's the Bill Conti came up with an absolute masterpiece in terms of a soundtrack for a film. And to me, the soundtrack just perfectly matches the whole sort of story arc of the film. The training sequence music, that music when Rocky Balboa is going to the top of the stairs at the Guggenheim, I think, in Philadelphia, and other music that gets played, like when he's courting Adrian, and when he's first coming to grips with trying to take on Apollo Creed, you just hear it, and it just stays with you, and it's gorgeous music, but it really, it completely means the film, and the film means the music. It's like perfect sync, perfect simpatico to me between music and movie with that particular film. I love that soundtrack. It's absolutely amazing.
That's another great soundtrack. You're right, and it fits. Everything fits, and you got to give the music editors and the sound editors and a lot of credit, and the writers and performers, because it fits totally. And one thing I also wanted to say, the song that you're talking about from Romeo and Juliet, that was arranged by Henry Mancini.
Right.
What's interesting is most of the music, not all, but most of the music from that film was adapted, roughly adapted, or bits and pieces of it was taken from the Prokofiev ballet, Romeo and Juliet. Little themes are taken out, and then the makers of the film did with it what they needed to do to make it work for the film.
Good point, Larry. Cool. And again, loving Henry Mancini throughout many of the films in the cinema landscape out there. I want to bring up another Western. You mentioned Magnificent Seven, Larry.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit more modern Western, whose soundtrack reminds me that Westerns were important at some time, and Westerns were a big part of, and that is the movie Silverado. Mm. Silverado's soundtrack is actually a lot of fun, and it really helps make the movie seem even that much more like a Western. So, kind of taking hints from previous Western themes in the past and putting them in this film to try to enrich this film. New music, but music that definitely have influences from Western yesteryear. So real yeah. Cool and real fun movie.
It is. And you know, I want to tell our listeners that, you know, send us messages. Tell us what your favorite soundtracks are, because there are, you know, for every movie out there, there's a soundtrack. And sometimes it's just incredible. And there's a few movies out there that on purpose have no soundtrack. And if you run across those films, they're incredible. The soundtrack is just the background noise. A movie that does that real well, and it takes that silence in and out is a movie called The Conversation with Gene Hackman. There are times when the soundtrack is just deafening, and the silence is just deafening.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you listening to us here on Blog Talk Radio, we're about to go off the air here, but join us on Google Hangouts on air and our show there. Have a good night, everybody, and we hope to hear and see you on Google Hangouts. Take care.